Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Another episode of the Dino Talk Podcast.
Boom. The Dino Talk gang is back again.
And we're going to keep our promise. We're doing the ADP draft. Like, we're pumped for it. And yeah, we probably should talk about the one from last year. We didn't do an official tally, but it looks like I won. I had Nico Collins. I had C.J. Stroud. Like, they had both had huge bumps. I had Pat Freiermuth, Kadarius Toney going down in value. So those were huge, huge hits. And Jesse also had some big hits. Jesse had Brandon Ayuk going up. Jesse had Jordan Love going up, which was huge. And he had Calvin Ridley going down. He had Deshaun Watson going down. So you guys should be paying attention to this. We know our stuff. I mean, granted, we did have some misses. But, yeah, I thought we did all right. And just to give a refresher for those who didn't listen to last year's, the format is we have one QB, two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, and a super flex. And we get points for those that we have going up in value. You only get points for them going up. So if they go down, it's a zero. And also for the top three rounds, we have like incentives. So if you go up a spot in the first round, it's plus +5. A spot in the second is plus +4. A spot in the third is plus +3. So you get incentives to pick guys at the top. But yeah, do you guys want to talk about life in the NFL, or do you just want to go ahead and get started?
I mean, honestly, I feel like it would be kind of cool to just touch on some topics like inside the NFL. I feel like there's been a few things that have been happening. I feel like the Trevor Lawrence contract, I feel like, is super important. I know I alluded to that in a few podcasts ago, saying that I honestly thought the current state of Trevor Lawrence's contract is they were going to hold him out until the beginning of the season. And people were going to be like just spamming the comparison of him and Daniel Jones just over and over. But no one would just pull up Urban Meyer's head coaching career in the NFL, because I feel like that's the ultimate way to deflect how Trevor Lawrence's career has went, because people always want to mention the passing yards, the fumbles, the touchdowns. They're just so identical. The yards per attempt, that's another thing that's like almost similar. But it's just the man's going to get paid because of one of the biggest reasons why I'm a believer in Trevor Lawrence is because, Nick, you were there. We watched the Jaguars play the Chargers in the playoffs, and I wanted to take off all my Justin Herbert gear. The Chargers just absolutely fumbled a winnable playoff game that they had a 20-plus point lead in, and I think that it was well-paid contract. I think he's worth the money. I think they have a great coach. Doug Peterson needs to take more control, and they have all the assets, I think, moving forward to have a great franchise started with that contract. So,
yeah, I mean, I like it. I like them paying Trevor Lawrence. Like, people want to talk about, yeah, comparisons. It's like, oh, he looks like Daniel Jones. He looks like he looks like Mac Jones. But it's just, he's better than those guys. Like, he made the playoffs with the Jaguars. Jaguars made to like one playoff game in the last 10 years prior to Trevor Lawrence. And this year they were on the path to making the playoffs, and they would have made the playoffs, but Trevor Lawrence got hurt down the stretch. But just everyone likes to bring up, like, oh, he choked down the stretch. But it's just like there was stuff outside of, like, his control there. Like, he's a good player. He had the highest drop rate in the NFL the past few years. Like, they made moves to improve the receiving core, and, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good decision to pay him. Like, you should get ahead of the market. He's your quarterback. Simple as that.
Well, so that's the crazy thing is I don't think they got ahead of the market. I just felt like they kind of waited for it to drop off here because the one concerning thing about the market right now is the receiver stock. If my, you know, the receivers are getting paid now, I feel like a lot of contracts, quarterback wise, they had been settled the year prior. So honestly, I think they played it right. You know, he had his subpar by some people's, you know, reasons, season again, and they did well again, and they paid him, I feel like, a fair market value just to lock him in. That's all you need. You need to not let him leave the building, as Nick would say with Eagles coaches. So,
nice little shot there, Logan.
Shout out to the Colts head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might come up in the draft a little bit later here. But, yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with you on the DMs.
I was going to mention, I always fall victim, start scrolling Twitter. I start seeing these rumors accounts, and I wonder, could this actually be a possibility? And in this situation, it's someone that we talked up on the podcast a bit. I know I did because, you know, Nick got me on the hype train a while ago about the broken tackle stat. And with this situation, I saw Twitter, a couple of Twitter accounts saying that Javonte Williams is up to be potentially cut from the roster, allegedly from training camp rumors. What do you guys think about that?
I like you, Logan, was sold on Javonte by Nick. But in Nick's defense, Javonte is an absolute beast. He was a freak of nature before his injury. So I don't know, though. The thing is, with these injuries, running backs, an injury can definitely, you know, put a career off of the path that you thought he was going to go down. So I don't think it's that serious. I don't think he's getting cut, but it does worry me.
Yeah, I'll say one thing here quick. And I am in favor of us starting the draft because I feel like we are kind of killing some of our picks here. And I feel like I have two interferences with some of my picks. But I disagree with the Javonte Williams conversation in training camp. Like, I think the guys that succeed are the guys that are fast and nice or good in space. It's just Javonte Williams succeeds by, like, running through tackles, by plowing into linebackers. Like, he's not going to look good early in training camp, where it's just like there's going to be, oh, if you look, McLaughlin looks better. Blake Watson looks better. Just like, Javonte sucks. Just like, he's going to get cut. I doubt it. I would be shocked. One Denver beat writer said that, and supposedly that beat writer is the king of hot takes. And other beat writers said the exact same thing that I was thinking. That it's just like, it's early training camp.
Maybe he's the same beat writer that said that Hurts was going to lose his starting job a few years back. Did he strike for the Eagles?
He might.
I know you were really into that one. I know that you were really into what one beat writer would say a few years ago, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't really know beat writers until I find one I trust. And there's a Denver beat writer that I trust what he has to say. And there are others that are just, a lot of beat writers just like to spew hot takes. And I feel like maybe with the Eagles one was one who just wanted to spew hot takes. And I didn't know that. Whereas just like with the Broncos one, it's just like, I'm not buying that.
Not falling for it again. That's, yeah, that's good.
I feel like, especially with beat writers, you just gotta get a few years of experience. It's sadly, you have to do that with people just randomly tweeting out nonsense. You gotta just measure out how they're doing. But one thing I wanted to say on this rumor, though, there was someone I saw in the reply section who said Javonte to the Cowboys makes the most sense. And I just want to preface saying, if Javonte Williams actually went to the Cowboys, that would be the best situation possible. I think that the Cowboys are, you know, always a win now team. And I think that he would apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All of his strengths to that team so much better than what he currently is with Sean Payton. Let's just throw in an undrafted free agent. No offense to Julio McLaughlin. I think he's a, you know, great runner, great college stats, but I don't know. When Nick sold me on Javonte, it was hard to unsee kind of what his talent was. But all right, getting into this ADP draft, I'll start us off with my first QB pick. I think I'm going to go with my conservative pick here. I'm not going to, you know, since my first draft, I'm not going to go crazy. I'm going to go with Kyler Murray. I think that right now, I think people are valuing him kind of as an injury-prone quarterback. I think that kind of sucks that they got the defensive head coach of the Eagles, but I think that Kyler Murray might have his most complete offense that he has in a while. And I think that there's been regression, but that was solely due to an injury. And he played 8 games last year. His position rank was 27 with 8 games. So I think that's, you know, a little undervalued. He had 244 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns rushing wise last year. And I just think that if he plays even like 11 to 15 games, he's going to start emerging into the top 15 quarterback role. And I just think that right now he's undervalued at 23 ADP. He's going to start going in the 10 to 15 range. I thought it was a little weird that Anthony Richardson in one of our startup drafts had already emerged at the back half of the first round. And I think Kyler's just going to probably start hitting the late first round, early second round part of the draft again. So Marvin Harrison, Michael Wilson, they got Zay Jones. I don't know if that means much, but Trey McBride's getting older, more experience, and then James Conner hopefully healthy with Trey Benson behind him. So I just think having that many options is just going to lead him into a better fantasy season. I think this is the year for Kyler Murray to start going back to where he was early on in his career.
I like that pick, Logan. I think players coming off an injury kind of get a little bit discredited because of how they played upon their return from injury, even though people expected it, but they still get a downgrade because of it. And I think Kyler is just a clear one. Like, he starts using his legs this year more than he did last year. Like, he's going to be a better quarterback, and especially a better quarterback for fantasy. And it's just like, he's young enough. Yeah, his value will go up because he's a good fantasy quarterback and he's a good real quarterback. And he's got an upgrade in terms of weapons. I think he's going to be in a pretty good spot.
Yeah. And so, like, another thing I want to say on Kyler, love the dude, love Call of Duty. I just think that his playmaking ability is like second to none. It's insane. People tried to discredit him. He was too short, you know, but the dude is stocky. He has weight on him, so he can take hits. He doesn't want to take hits, but his willingness to make the play off of scramble, I think, is insane. He's a baseball player, got drafted high. His fucking throwing window is insane. His arm angles are insane. He's going to continue to produce, in my opinion. It's going to take a horrible circumstance for him to not just eat, I don't think. So that's my biggest reason why I'm going to take him.
Yeah, no, completely fair. And I'm gonna go in the same route. And I was kind of worried with our earlier conversation that I was going to get this guy stolen. But I'm going to go Trevor Lawrence. He's 28th overall currently, going as QB12. And I think he's being punished for getting hurt at the end of the year. And also being punished, like, he took more sacks this past year. The offensive line wasn't great. He's had a ton of drops over the years. And they completely revamped his receiving core. They improved his offensive line. Like, I think he's a talent that's just been, like, busting at the surface to just explode. And I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a year where he's just going to blow up and be an MVP-like candidate. And you're not going to be able to get him 28th overall if that happens. Like, I think he's a good enough quarterback and good enough passer that, like, he's going to have a boom season, and then his ADP is going to be much lower. Like, he's going to be a first-round quarterback at some point. And I kind of want to get ahead of that. Trevor Lawrence, second overall here.
Ooh, horrible pick. That's so bad. No, I'm in agreement with you. I think I probably alluded to that earlier. Sorry about mentioning his new contract. Man's locked down. But I think the biggest reason why, I know I talked about Trevor Lawrence in like two podcasts ago, but I think one of the biggest reasons Trevor Lawrence is such a steal right now, I traded the 104 straight up for Trevor Lawrence. And I thought, I had to send a text to Nick about this because I was wondering if I missed something, because it was such a no-brainer, because like Trevor Lawrence was plagued by Urban Meyer's first year as the head coach of the Jaguars. And one of the reasons why that was such a case is because his first year, he threw 12 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, and had 32 sacks. And that just, those interceptions, I thought, just threw him on the Daniel Jones kind of trajectory. He, you know, Daniel Jones got thrown to the Giants. Hopefully he would pan out. And I think people are thinking Trevor Lawrence is like that. But if you guys don't remember him at Clemson, his arm talent, his ability to throw these like deep, mid, and low yardage throws was just insane. So I just think that he's only going to go up. He's just kind of in a weird scenario where they're shifting out some of the receivers, but he's a great quarterback prospect.
Yeah, I really like what you said about he's kind of been being punished for being hurt. He's a guy who's never sat out. I don't think he's sat out any game up until this year, and kind of reminds me of Baker Mayfield from last year. Just whenever he was with the Browns, kind of got punished for trying to play through an injury. I like the pick, especially with just the value of those initial rounds. So just to remind the listeners, you know, if Trevor Lawrence, he's already, I think, he's going 29th. And so if, you know, next year at this time he's in the first round, that's a huge, huge bump for Nick. I think it's almost like 100 points. So, yeah, I like the pick. As far as on the curve here, I'm going to go ahead and go receiver to start off here with Curtis Samuel. I like him in the as far as just to take over that Buffalo Bills wide receiver room. I think that he's probably the best receiver in that room right now. Keon is obviously the up and comer, and I do think that Keon is going to have a nice career. But he's just going at overall, I think 79th. If I'm reading right. Actually, I don't have Keon's down. I think it was 79. But with Curtis Samuel at 182, it just seems like the odds of him getting up there. And next year at this time, he'll be a 28-year-old receiver. So, I mean, you do risk that whenever taking them on the corner there. But if he has a successful season and they don't add too much more to the Bills next offseason, it could be a great pickup for me, I think. And then as far as my next pick here, gonna go ahead and do some sniping here. I'm gonna go running back. It's a rookie, Braylon Allen. I like him to go up here. He's going at player 191, and yeah, I just like him to go up in value. I think that with Breece Hall's injury history, there's a good chance that that this time next year, Braylon Allen could be, you know, at least a top 100 player. So I just like him coming off the corner. Didn't want to get him sniped. Thought that I might get him from somebody. So yeah, that's my corner.
I like it. I like both of them. I think Curtis Samuel is a wide receiver that's valued way too low right now. Like but the biggest thing with Curtis Samuel is, can he stay healthy? Like I think that's been the biggest thing his whole career. But he does produce, and with the Bills offense playing with Josh Allen, like I want a piece of that offense, you know, and Curtis Samuel's got as good of a chance as any. And with Braylon Allen, like, I think that's a good pick. Like he's just 20 years old. Like I think he was the youngest player in the draft. Like he's going to be 20 for like, he went into college his first year is 17, which is crazy.
And he was seen after his freshman year, like, is going to be like a top running back prospect. And then he kind of had a few down-ish years, but like, he's a good player. And it's just, yeah, Breece Hall's been hurt. He gets hurt. Like, Braylon Allen's a guy that, like, he seems to be taking over the RB2 role already, which is a great sign. And yeah, I think that's a good possibility for him to go up, even if Breece Hall does stay healthy. But you know what? I just talked about how I like Curtis Samuel because he's part of that Bills offense. I'm gonna go ahead and go Keon Coleman here. Like, I like Keon Coleman quite a bit. Like, as a prospect, I know there's a lot of people that don't like him from the separation standpoint, but people also don't know he was playing hurt for a lot of last year. And he's a guy that just is very talented. He was a tremendous basketball player. He's got tremendous athleticism, and he's a guy that can just make plays on the ball. Like, he does not drop passes. He has tremendous contested catches. Like, I think Keon Coleman's a guy that could really be great for Josh Allen. He's never really had that contested catch guy. Like, that's not Dalton Kincaid. That's not Dawson Knox. That was not Diggs. Not Gabe Davis. Like, that could be Keon Coleman, and it's just Josh Allen could fall in love with him. And it's just, he's going 79th overall, which is kind of high as a rookie. But if he shows out this year, like, his ADP could go way up. And playing with a quarterback like Josh Allen, like, they lost Gabe Davis, they lost Stephon Diggs. Like, there's a lot of targets to go around. And I think there's a decent possibility Keon could take this Gabe Davis role. And I think he's a better version of Gabe Davis. In which he, if he does that, like, he could. Gabe Davis got a lot of targets. Like, I talked about that in the podcast last season. And I think Keon Coleman could do well in that offense. And if he even does better than that, like, the sky's the limit. But I kind of want to get ahead of this. Keon Coleman, my second pick.
Yeah, no complaints there. I feel like that's a solid pick. I feel like a little inflated just rookie ADP wise, but I did want to touch basis on Jesse's picks. Curtis Samuel, always a great guy to just float on your roster, see what happens. He was kind of my guy that I just a few years ago, I just throw him on my bench, see what happens. You get some trade value every now and then because he pops off. But Braylon Allen, like the guy. It's just the situation he's in is a little weird. Breece Hall definitely lost some gas, but Braylon Allen is like a physical freak. I know that there was like a viral photo of him standing by Derrick Henry like a few months ago, and it's just like I don't know what Braylon Allen took, what he does, or what he's made out of, and he just looks like he's a different breed. So I definitely respect that, and especially being at 20 years old, I think that he's going to be a interesting prospect moving forward. He's got time on his side, so plenty of time to get a contract. But for my picks here, I'm going to go with my super flex spot. I'm going to go with QB. I'm going to go with Will Levis. I just, being a Titans fan, I just think that his current ADP at 100, flat number, I just don't think it's in the right spot right now. I think that people are drafting him based off of if he's going to lose the season. Like Bryce Young's sitting around, what, 48, 50, something like that. I haven't looked in a bit. But essentially, Bryce Young goes out there in a horrible offensive scheme with some Adam Thielen old receivers, and he has half the ADP of what Will Levis has. Whereas I think Will Levis's biggest strengths are making plays, sitting in the pocket, getting tight window throws, and I think that they brought the right offensive head coach in to make all those things possible. They brought in Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd. They still have Kyle Phillips, Treylon Burks, and then they got D Hop running the whole operation there at receiver one. So I think that currently the Titans are sitting in a great spot offensively. They have Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears running back wise. They brought in Cushenberry for a new center, so that at least one half of their line is going to be stacked. So I think that Will Levis, he does take a little bit to throw, which is a bit concerning. He might have sack problems, but I definitely think that he will produce, and his ADP is, it's going to increase over this next season, especially with the offensive weapons. So, other than that, I'll move on to my next pick. I've got Jakobi Meyers is my receiver one for this ADP draft. And I just think that a lot of the time I'm looking at Jacoby Myers and I'm remembering the past where people were saying, why does Jacoby Myers not score touchdowns? Is there something wrong with him? And then I look at the last season of his stats and he scored 8 touchdowns. And I know he has Davante Adams. They just added in Brock Bowers. They have Mayer. And I don't see him competing too hard because the man is a physical receiver. He gets it done. And I just don't understand why every startup draft I'm wondering, why would I go Davante Adams when I could get another receiver one and then sneak Jacoby Myers like a lot of the picks back? Because I just think he's severely undervalued and just like a great asset to have, especially at the ADP 158. Like, why would I ever go Diggs when I could just snag another receiver one and then just sneak Jacoby Myers like way later in the draft? That's something I don't understand. So Jacoby Myers is my pick for sure.
I don't hate either of the picks. I'm skeptical of Levis, but with our format, you don't get penalized for going down. Like if he retains the starting position, like he's inevitably going to go up. So I think that's a good low risk move there, and with some high reward. And with Jacoby, the thing with Jacoby is he's very consistent and he still doesn't go up in ADP, which is kind of crazy, which is why I would be a little more skeptical of that pick, just because I don't know. I think in order for him to go up in ADP, I think he's going to have like an 1,000-yard season. And I think that might be a challenge with their current quarterback situation. But in the end, like if he bowls out again, like it's going to be tough to hold him down there, where I definitely understand it.
Yeah, I guess I should also just step in here real quick. Will Levis is on his make or break season, and that's why I'm taking him in the ADP draft, because it's only up or only down, and you can't lose points going down, so that's why I'm taking him.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. And with mine, I'm kind of going to use the same logic. It's a little bit of a risk, but I'm going to go Dontavian Wicks. He's going off the board currently at 166th overall is his ADP, and wide receiver 68. Like I like Wicks a lot. Like I like his talent, and he's a guy that produced every chance he got. And his rapport with Jordan Love seemed to be very good. The only problem is they have a crowded wide receiving room, and they're all like, honestly, too good to be benched. Where it's going to be tough to see whoever wins out the role. But I mean, if there's some injuries there, I think Wicks could just blow up. Like he's the type of talent that I think if he's given a full snap share, like I think the guy's going to produce. And if he does, like his ADP is way too low. In which case, that's why I'm buying him right now, because the cost is not super high, and it's just the upside's pretty darn high. And I think he's a guy that could just explode. So Wicks is my pick here.
But why would you like Wicks over someone like Christian Watson? Is it like his catch rate or like what is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think his routes are better. I like better than Watson. I think he's pretty good after the catch. I liked his college profile better. And it's just Watson hasn't, to me, like he had the one season where he had a bunch of touchdown luck, and like he has some upside to be a better MVS, but it's just like what he is upside at this point. He hasn't been able to stay healthy, and just maybe he can stay healthy and just blow up. But with where Wicks is currently valued, I think Wicks is a guy that at the very least could be a wide receiver two on this team, even if Watson does do well, in which case Wicks is still way undervalued. But I mean, it's tough because Reed's seemingly a pretty good player, and even Romeo Doubs like will make plays when you give him the chance. And then there's also Bo Melton, who when given the chance, but I think he's lower on the pecking order. But like it's just like they have Luke Musgrave, they have Josh Jacobs now. Like there's a lot of guys there, but it's just in an offense that schemes up so well, and someone who can get open like Wicks, I'm gonna take that chance.
Yeah, that's valid.
Yeah, I like the pick a lot. I actually probably would have gone Wicks here if you didn't take him. So good move there. The reason why I like him over Christian Watson is just because he was 50 players lower. I like Christian Watson more than Wicks, but in this draft, I would have gone Wicks over Watson as well. As far as the corner here, this is where it gets ugly. This is where it gets real ugly. I'm gonna go tight end here. A tight end out of Denver. Greg Dulcich. I love this prospect. Nick has really sold me on him a lot. We actually in a shared league, we bought him, sold off like the 112 for him, at his absolute peak value, and we are just investing in him hard. And gosh, him being at 205 does seem kind of criminal. He didn't get moved. There hasn't been any competition brought in for him really. So yeah, I mean I just like him there. I think that Sean Payton's gonna love him, and I think that Nick is just really gonna hate that pick. So moving on then into the next pick here for me. I'm actually going another guy that Nick has sold me on in the past, wide receiver this time, Wan'Dale Robinson. Nick has absolutely loved him. And I mean, whenever he was healthy, I've liked him too. He kind of reminded me a little bit of kind of the Nico Collins situation of last year, in a sense where he was kind of hurt for the majority of the end of the year. Maybe could have played at the end, but then they kind of withheld a snap share. Just super similar situation, I feel like, to Nico, and the talent is there in my opinion. And now it's one of those deals where, you know, the defense is gonna have to focus on on neighbors. So I think Wandale's just gonna fit right in there. I think the Giants offense is gonna surprise a few people this year in all honesty. So going Wandale at 201, player 201. That's my second wide receiver.
Hate the picks, Jesse. Terrible. I'm just kidding. The Greg Dulcich, like I was gonna take him. Like I probably should have done it earlier. I picked him last year in this, and if he doesn't break out, I might do it again next year. But no, I'm just playing. He needs to stay healthy. Like that's the biggest thing with Dulcich. And yeah, I thought they were gonna add someone. Supposedly they really wanted Ben Sinnott in the draft, but Ben Sinnott got selected ahead of time by the Commanders. But yeah, Greg Dulcich's got a great opportunity, and his talent's very good. He's a high ADOT tight end, downfield player, and like he could be a real asset in that offense. In an offense that doesn't have like a dominant wide receiver one that's currently constructed, like Dulcich could be a guy that could explode. And with Sean Payton, he's done it before with tight ends. Jimmy Graham exploded with him. Like Greg Dulcich could be that tight end that next year everyone's going to want a piece of. And just I want a piece of him now. Like he's a really good player. And with Wandale, like I think Wandale's got a good talent. I think the ACL injury, that's why I kind of faded him last season. But a year off an ACL tear, I'd be willing to buy in, especially when they don't have a super crowded wide receiving room. Yeah, I could be in on that. But with my next one, I'm gonna go Jerry Jeudy. Being drafted as 137th overall, wide receiver 54. He's in drafted in the 11th round. And I've never been a huge Jeudy fan. Like I thought he was a bit overrated coming out, but I do think he has a place in the league. And I think he's a guy that's produced when he's been healthy. Like with Denver, in the one season where he was pretty healthy, like he was doing really well. It's just been injuries that have hurt him. And if he can stay healthy, I think with Deshaun Watson's a guy I think could have a better year. And I think Jeudy is a guy like Amari Cooper's getting older. They have David Njoku. But I mean, he mainly did well with Flacco. And then they also like they have Nick Chubb coming back, but it's just like their run game's a little questionable. And I think Jeudy could, yeah, have a bit of a breakout this year. And I think he's undervalued right now. And I think he's a guy that I'm going to be buying into. So yeah, Jerry Jeudy's my pick.
Just a guy, Jerry Jeudy. You really think he's gonna be able to beat out people like Cedric Tillman and David Bell?
Who?
Exactly. All right, so coming up on this next pick, I'm going to go running back. My first pick here is gonna be Devin Singletary. I think he's one of those guys, like I mentioned earlier, where he's like Curtis Samuel, you just throw him on your bench, see what happens. He's in the ideal scenario. And I think that his ADP at 133.9, 134, we'll call it. I just think that him getting a 3-year contract with the Giants just speaks, you know, he's just putting it into motion. He's finally the lead back, and he will be able to produce. Regardless, he has the opportunity. I think that adding Malik Nabers is going to add a little pressure into the offense. They're going to have to start passing a little bit, and I think that Devin Singletary will be able to take out some of those outside zones, anything outside related. He'll be able to break those tackles, get some yards. I think that him being, what is it, 26? He's only 26 years old. He's a little undersized height-wise, but I think that he makes plays on his feet, and I think that overall he'll be able to do it.
I believe in the Giants offense too. Love to see it.
I don't know if I believe in the Giants offense, but I think that he'll get a better opportunity than Saquon did, sadly. Even though I think Saquon's better.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. I get what I hear where you're calling from. I think the Giants, yeah, I think they're going to be all right.
All right. Well, when we get back from break, Logan will be making his next pick. Dino Talk.
Welcome back to the Dino Talk podcast. Okay, I'll go ahead with my next pick here, and I'm going to go running back here. Run it back with Marshawn Lloyd. I think Marshawn Lloyd is currently undervalued right now at 146.6 ADP. I don't think he necessarily got the ADP hype that most rookies do. I think that this running back draft class was kind of a drought. You know, you had your Jonathan Brooks, you had your Trey Benson, and then it just kind of fell off, and then people would scoop people up later in the third and fourth rounds. I think Marshawn Lloyd is an interesting candidate at 146.6, and I think that AJ Dillon's getting a little bit older, and I think that while watching Marshawn Lloyd at South Carolina, I saw someone that can make plays. He's a bit older now. I think he's like 23 years old, but he definitely does make plays running and receiving wise, and I think that AJ Dillon's going to be kind of put in a weird spot in Green Bay, and I think that Marshawn Lloyd could emerge through injuries or just outplaying his opponents. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, no, I like that Lloyd pick. I think that's a solid one. LaFleur clearly likes to use multiple running backs, and I think Lloyd provides an element that both Dillon and Jacobs don't have, and that's making plays out in space. And that's a solid one. I'm a little skeptical about Singletary, but his contract locks him in for probably the next year. So that's a pretty good spot to be in for him.
Yeah, he's got like a weird cap space thing, right? Or is it like 6 million dropping or something?
Yeah, he's got 6 million dead cap for next year, which is like I don't think they save a lot by getting rid of him. I'm gonna go with my next one. It's actually it was one that was gonna be I thought was gonna get spoiled early on, but I kind of kept my commentary to myself. I'm gonna go Audric Estime, the rookie out of Notre Dame for Denver, and I'm not buying the idea that Javonte is going to get cut or he's going to get phased out, but I do like Estime's talent. And Javonte has still not proven himself post-injury. To where I think Estime is a guy that kind of got undervalued a bit, and I think he's a guy that could perform and get carries early on. And if he can be a guy that gets like 10 to 12, 15 carries a day, I think he's a guy that could succeed in that. And next year, like, he's going to be of value. Especially 92nd overall, like looking back at it, like I think he could really rise and kind of get into that round 8 to 10 range, like would not shock me, even maybe even a little bit higher. But I think Estime is a guy that could really rise in value. And I kind of like the spot he's in now, and I've been drafting him in quite a few rookie drafts. Just based on the opportunity, and I like the player. Estime is the pick.
I don't hate it at all. I do root against you. Because I like Javonte quite a bit. I have him in quite a few leagues. So rooting against you, but I definitely I get why, especially in this style of draft. There's kind of it's kind of like a no risk situation if, you know, say Javonte does become, you know, a workhorse back. So don't mind the pick at all. I'm actually going to stack a receiver with a quarterback here. I'm going with my first quarterback, actually, Daniel Jones, stacking him with Wan'Dale Robinson. I like that we got him a weapon this last year, and obviously I've been saying quite a bit that I'm buying quite a bit into the Giants offense. That is kind of a huge reason why is that, Daniel Jones had a good year, and I think that's kind of been the theme of this draft for me a little bit is taking people who I feel like have a discount because of their injuries. And yeah, so Daniel Jones paired with Wan'Dale Robinson, I like that duo to kind of rise quite a bit, and I think Malik Nabers is going to help those. It's just going to do nothing but help those guys. So, and Singletary as well. I think that offense just it's going to look a little bit better. Yeah, I believe in the coaching and everything there. So, Daniel Jones, Wan'Dale Robinson. I'm an Eagles fan, by the way. Everyone knows this, so that kind of says a little something there. Okay, and then going on to my flex pick here. This one very similar in the style of. If they tank, no harm, no foul. I'm just hoping and praying because this person we're a big fan of in the podcast, Cornelius Johnson, with the Chargers. Kind of hoping he's at 283 as a player, and I just that wide receiving room is so wide open that I don't see why, it couldn't be him. He is a seventh round pick, but he went to college with the head coach. So the head coach, I imagine that how that works. I've never been in a front office when the draft is happening, but I imagine how that works is sixth, seventh round, they're asking the head coach, "Hey, who's your guy?" And in the seventh round, he went with Cornelius. So he's gonna get a chance in a not very crowded wide receiver room with one of the best quarterbacks that we've ever probably seen throw the ball. I know Nick really thinks some of his average throws are fantastic. So. But that's an argument for another day. Yeah, those are my that's my corner picks. Cornelius Johnson at 283, and then Daniel Jones 151.
Wow, out of left field with the Cornelius Johnson one, but I've been picking him up in quite a few leagues too. I think that he's a guy that, yeah, clearly if you're going to draft him that late, I mean you're, and he's played with you before. Like I think Cornelius is the guy that's going to play, and he blocks his ass off. Like that's one thing I've just being a Michigan fan over the years. And he makes plays. Like he's not going to be a guy that's just going to dominate the target share. But he's a guy that's going to be on the. I think he's a guy that could get on the field. And if he's on the field and making a couple catches a game, like his ADP is too low. Like where he's being drafted with guys that probably won't make teams. So I think, yeah, I think Cornelius Johnson's a value. And I'm probably going to wash my hands after saying this, but I kind of like the Daniel Jones pick too. Like that feels weird to say because I've kind of been anti Daniel Jones and I don't think he's a super player. But like the more I've been seeing stuff, it seems like Dable really likes Daniel Jones and that like he was a guy that was really fighting to keep Daniel Jones. And if that's the case, like, and they have a decent season, like they could have Daniel Jones as a quarterback again after this year and no one's expecting that. Whereas just like
Right.
if that's the case, yeah, he's going to go way up in value.
Exactly. And I mean, there's a re they paid him $40 million at one point. You know what I mean? So that's another huge reason. I mean, I like to follow the money quite a bit. So yeah, there's a reason why they were gonna pay him 40 mil.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's definitely true. And I'm kind of gonna go a little bit on the spot here with this pick, but it's been one just because I was sniped earlier, and I kind of got to go a little bit on the fly here. And I'm gonna go tight end with my pick here, and I'm gonna go Mark Andrews. As of right now, he's 61st overall in ADP, and that is tight end 7, which is too low for Mark Andrews. Like he's not that old to where like Travis Kelce is playing very well into his tight end, like he's 30, how old is he? 33, 34? Like Mark Andrews is the guy this year who was balling out when he was healthy. He was doing very well. And like even Likely did well on his replace. Like Lamar likes to throw the tight end. And if Mark Andrew is healthy, like he's gonna produce. Like I think Mark Andrews is the guy that's undervalued right now. And I think he could be
the redraft tight end one this year. Like, he can finish the tight end one overall, and that would not shock me, but he's being valued as tight end seven just because all these other young tight ends have some potential to be the next Kelce, the next Andrews. Whereas just, I think Andrews is just being pushed down way too far. And I think he's a value. And Mark Andrews, my pick.
And you're not worried at all that I feel like the Ravens are like kind of finally building up their receiving core?
I mean, slightly, but how is their receiving core any more built up than it was last year? Like, Bateman going to be a little more healthy? Zay Flowers have more of a role? Like, I think the tight end's still going to be a significant piece. Like, I'm kind of a little bit worried, but it's just at the same time, Lamar's going to still throw to his best receiver, which is Mark Andrews.
A little Devontae Walker. Yeah. Nelson Agholor, are you scared of that?
No.
Damn. Deonte Hardy, did I get you there?
I blinked.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think the greatest risk with this is Mark Andrews going to be healthy. And I think that if he is, he'll produce like an older tight end will. And I know Lamar Jackson will definitely lean on him. And I think this is a great gamble because actually, I don't even know if it is because he's at that age. It's make or break. So I think that it's going to be an interesting one to look back next year. Hopefully he has a healthy season and he produces. But last year,
Quick to jump in as well. I agree with you, Logan. I don't like that pick at all.
I didn't want to say
28 right now. He's going to be 29 next year. Like the draft setting is next year at this time. Is his ADP going to be higher? 29-year-old tight end. Woo. Hey, I love the pick, Nick. Good job.
Hey, I'm going to defend myself here. I was the one on board with us pushing through with the draft, but you know what? I'm going to defend myself here. Guys, Mark Andrews could finish tight end one this year, and that would not surprise any of us. And if he finishes tight end one, are we all of a sudden going to be like, oh, he's 29 years old. Let's just push him further down behind Dalton Kincaid, behind Trey McBride, Brock Bowers, Kyle Pitts, on the idea that they maybe could be good and they're a few years younger. Like, Travis Kelce has been the tight end one for multiple years past the age of 30 season. Gronk has done it. I don't think if Mark Andrews finishes tight end one and balls out this year, like, we're not just going to have him go down in value just because he's 29. Like, I think there's going to be some of these tight ends that are going to go down in value and in turn push Andrews up. But he's just a guy that, like, oh, I'm going to lock in a guy who's going to catch 80, 90 passes, get me 10 touchdowns, 900 yards, and solidify my tight end position. I'm going to draft him right instead of a young gamble.
That's fine. That's fine. But he's going as player 61. Sam Laporta is at player 25. So there's no way. Like, Sam Laporta had a great – the best scenario is that Mark Andrews maybe gets up to, like, he's going at 40. But I personally – I don't know. I mean, it we'll see how it goes next year, like Logan said.
Yeah, no, I love the call. I feel like that's a bold call. I feel like gambling on tight end's age definitely ages better than gambling on a running back or a receiver. You know, who knows? Maybe we're getting into his prime, but I think with my pick here, I'm going to go receiver. And I know that might be a little controversial. I know it was yesterday. And I'm going to go with Khalil Shakir here. I know that he is getting his current ADP is 156.6. And I know that when you look at his stats, you wonder, why does he consistently get picked so late? He had 15 games in the first season, 17 in the second season he played. He had 161 yards his first season, 611 in his second season. And he only had one touchdown first season, two in the second. And you wonder, how does someone that has their ADP over 1 year still get picked so late? And I feel like, I think you should just put him on your bench if he's on the waiver, see what happens. And I think going into this next year, his ADP will rise. He's been consistent. He improves. He's still in the same offense. Josh Allen knows him. He's not going to be meeting any rookies or newly acquired people on the team. I know we got Curtis Samuel, we got Keon Coleman selected earlier, but I think Khalil Shakir is an interesting prospect because coming from the nerd side of things, he is an insanely high EPA per target. And I know that other things, he just runs great routes. He's open. And I just think that Josh Allen will lean in on him. He'll be the consistent guy in this offense next season. He might not be the receiver one, but I definitely think that a receiver that gets 611 yards is being kind of undershadowed in their ADP currently. And I think that going into next season, he might not have the touchdowns. He'll have the receptions. He might have the yards going into next year. So I'm kind of excited. I think that they're kind of clogging it up with Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, kind of hype, you know. Even Chase Claypool got, you know, a little bit of media attention because he's coming from the CFL, but they got other people like Mac Hollins. And I'm just thinking to myself, is MVS really going to overtake Khalil Shakir as a receiver one? Because if you're looking at the sleeper standings, I don't think so. And I think Khalil Shakir will be kind of a higher volume guy going into this next season. But I'm excited to see. So I'll put that down as my ADP pick. The next one, taking a complete dart throw on this one, mostly because I like the guy coming out of college. Saw his returning stats out of college. I just thought he was an overall playmaker, and I feel like he's on a great team to get schemed up, and he showed it last season. And I think Bo Melton, receiver from Green Bay, I know we talked Dontavian Wicks, and I think Bo Melton, if he gets the chance, he is going to show flashes of being compatible in any offense. He didn't have success on his first team. Got added a little bit later onto the Packers in their season. A little bit of injuries, and he was the only Green Bay Packers receiver to get 100-plus yards in one game last season. And I think that is pretty impactful, and I think that he can run any route. He can be anywhere on the field. He gets open. And I think he was given a great chance in the second half of the season for the Packers to show why he deserves to be on an NFL roster. And I think he's going to show it this next season. His current ADP, I think, is a steal. 331.3. So I think if you're in a league and he is not rostered, add him, throw him into the bottom of your depth chart, see what happens. He might pan out. I think that he gets open a lot of the time, and I think he's, you know, you should gamble on him.
Hey, solid gamble. Solid gamble there. I like the secure pick quite a bit. Like, he's the only guy that's really coming back in the receiving core that's played, and I think he's got as good a shot as any. I think we each picked our own Bills player here, and one of them's going to hit big time, and that person might just win this whole ADP draft. But
sorry to cut you off there. I think the funniest thing about it is so many people are hyper fixated on Gabe Davis last year, because Gabe Davis would either get you 20 points or he would get you 3 points. But I think Shakir might just be that happy medium going into the next season. So I don't know. What's your next pick here, Nick?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go with my running back here, and I'm going to go Trey Benson. And he is going, I got to look at my stats here. He is going 90th overall, RB22. And a lot of this is, I'm not as big on James Conner as the rest of the consensus. Like, people think, oh, it's James Conner's job regardless. Like, oh, he's earned that. Like, what has he done? Like, he's a guy that's done all right. Like, he can score touchdowns and he can get you 3.5 to 4 yards a carry. But I just think Trey Benson's got that difference maker ability that James Conner just does not have. And James Conner has proven himself to get hurt quite frequently. And if Trey Benson comes out as a difference maker running back, like, I think he can take that job. And regardless, I think he's a guy that can really produce if given the opportunity. And they drafted him high enough to where he could go into next offseason as the main running back for the Cardinals. And if that's the case, like, his ADP is going to go up quite a bit. And I think he is going to be a value this time next year. And he's a guy in the second round that in drafts that in rookie drafts that I'm going to be taking quite often. And yeah, Trey Benson's my pick here.
I like it, Nick. I would love to snipe that one from you. Yeah. I mean, I like the pick quite a bit. That's really all I have to say about it. As far as the corner here, in my super flex position, I'm gonna go Baker. I know I've kind of talked about him a little bit earlier as well. Once again, the theme of the draft for me has been guys that were punished for injury. I think he still is. He was a number one overall pick. He had a great season last year. His weapons are still solid. And yeah, I mean, I think if he has another great year, you just look at it, the resume. Like I said, you look at he was number one overall pick. His only bad real season was whenever he was clearly hurt. Like everyone knew he was hurt. And then, you know, whatever happens in Tampa Bay as far as weapons goes, I just think that he could definitely climb the rankings. Sitting there at 90, I don't see why he couldn't make it into the top 30 at this time next year. So, and then that brings me on to my running back. I'm gonna stick with the rookies here, so they're gonna have two rookie running backs. Going with Brooks, Jonathan Brooks, Carolina. It's not with him being at player 67, it isn't that high. Like there isn't that many points that I could score off of it. But I just do think that with the running back position the way it is, I think that coming into this time next year with just having a running back that for sure has a solidified position, which I think the Carolina Panthers are going to, and then just looking at next year's draft class, I don't think that they're going to be able to get one of the running backs next year because they're going to need to get other players. You know, they're going to need to expand in other places. And so I just could see him being one of the few running backs at this time next year that everyone knows, yeah, he's a three down running back. He's going to have the workload, the full workload for the entire team. So yeah, that's rounding out my picks as far as players I'm rooting for this year.
Yeah, I like it. I like the Baker pick. He just got a contract, and if he produces again, his value should go up. And Brooks, yeah, I mean, he's got the opportunity. I think he's, yeah, got a shot to go up. Coming off the ACL scares me a bit, but yeah, go ahead and go with my last pick here, and it's my super flex spot, and I'm gonna go Aiden O'Connell. He's currently going off the board as 209th overall, which is pretty late in my opinion for a guy that has a decent shot to win the starting job. Like from what I understand, he's the starting as the number one option, but a lot of people just assume it's going to be Minshew that wins it. But regardless, O'Connell's being drafted behind Spencer Rattler, Sam Howell, yeah, Minshew. Quite a few guys that, in my opinion, he should not be drafted behind. And I kind of like O'Connell's talent better than some others. And I think O'Connell is a pretty good job at just like he'll do what he's told, he'll make the throws. And the biggest thing with O'Connell is he doesn't take a lot of sacks. And I don't know if you guys know who a lot of people know who the OC is there. It's Luke Getsy, who was in Chicago with Justin Fields. And the problem with Justin Fields is he would just take those game-breaking sacks so frequently that just kills an offense that Getsy likes to run. And I think when it comes down to it, I think he's going to like having a quarterback like O'Connell who will throw where Getsy wants him to throw it. Like he will do what he's told, and he will also avoid sacks and avoid those negative plays. And with an offense that has a lot of skill position players, like O'Connell could do all right. And for fantasy, he might never be like a super player just because he's not a guy that does a ton with his legs, and he's probably not going to be a super high volume passer. But like if their team ends up surprising this year and getting to the playoffs or something crazy like that, or even getting close, with the weaponry that they have, and they have some talent on their roster to where if they surprise, like I wouldn't be shocked if O'Connell were to retain a job for next year. Like just because I think he could be someone who the coaching staff would like. And because we don't get penalized for going down, I'm willing to take that risk here as my last pick. And yeah, O'Connell's my pick here. Decent shot they also take a quarterback next year and this blows up, but regardless.
Got to give a disclaimer on that one. I feel like if he never played Khalil Mack, his stats would be a lot more interesting. Because what did Khalil Mack sack him 5 or 6 times in one game? Which I feel like is pretty unheard of. But no, I like him. He is kind of an interesting prospect, like Will Levis is, where he just stands in the pocket he'll make the throw if he can, and he just facilitates it. It's weird. He in the perfect offensive scheme, he gets it out. He's got great receivers. I think it's going to be interesting losing Josh Jacobs, having Zamir White be the lead back, but I think adding a tight end in Brock Bowers might be kind of a thing that he can lean on, because I think that inexperienced quarterbacks, they lean in on tight ends. You know, you can do a little short out, short receiving, stuff like that. But for my final pick, I'm gonna hit up my tight end position, and I'm gonna go with Theo Johnson. I was hoping we did this podcast a little bit earlier, because I started to see that Darren Waller was alluding to retiring. He dropped that weird song, but I think the one thing I was excited about when looking at a tight end prospect is just overall how they scored and the relative athletic score. And Theo Johnson is a tight end prospect. He scored 9.99 out of a possible 10. Shout out Ken Lee Platt at Math Bomb on Twitter. I love your infographics, but he ranked 2 out of 1,105 tight ends from 1987 to 2024. And I think that Theo Johnson, athletically speaking, I'll take a gamble on him as my tight end, because I see tight ends ADP wise is they sit where they do. Sam Laporta was an example. He came from Iowa, perfect scenario. He produced, and now he's just sitting so far up in the ADP wise. So I'm going to take a gamble with Theo Johnson. Great prospect, athletically speaking. Didn't necessarily perform like at an insane level, but I think he's a great example of someone you could just take a gamble on, see if we can do some work on that ADP, because he's at 202 right now, and I think he's more of someone that could be at like the 150, 100 range if he goes off. So we'll see what happens.
I love that pick, because also just in the dynasty community, people love their athletic tight ends. So he's one of those guys that, if he does, have even a mid-tier rookie season as a tight end, people really might get excited about him. So I really love that.
Hell yeah. And that's the one thing me and Nick have discussed outside of the podcast, is it's just like relative athletic score. It's just like doesn't translate to most positions, but it correlates most with tight ends. So it's just like if you have a really athletic guy, it's most beneficial to be a tight end out of all of them. So like with him, definitely sticks out as like a signal to like draft him just in case. So should we move on to our biggest movers downward?
Yeah, and we'll go ahead and start with Jesse here, with those who will go down in value. We each have three here, and we're not doing any specific positions for this. But yeah, Jesse, go ahead.
All right, are we sure that we want to like do it like a snake where Logan starts, or are you guys cool with me starting?
Since you were last, first time, go ahead and go first.
Yeah, go ahead, Jesse. You got this.
All righty, that works. So my first pick kind of goes hand in hand exactly with a lot of my picks that I was rooting for there. Breece Hall going at 15th overall. Like I talked about earlier, with his injury history, he is one bad injury, or really just one mediocre season away from, I think, a lot of question marks coming up. As well as there's going to be question marks with that offense in the future. So I could see this time next year, him being outside of the top 30, and with him being at going off at 15, I like it. So that's my pick.
Yeah, I like that. With mine here, I'm gonna go. This one is pretty obvious to me, and I just cannot believe this ADP. And that is Michael Pittman Jr. at 43rd overall. Like, I think in general, everyone is viewing the Colts offense because of Minshew being the quarterback last year, that it's just some big passing offense. And Pittman's being pushed up.
Josh Downs getting pushed up. Adee Mitchell's getting pushed up. Everyone thinks this is just going to be a passing offense like what it was with Minshew. And they also think Anthony Richardson is going to run for a bunch of touchdowns. And they think Jonathan Taylor is going to rush so well. That's not all going to happen. And the ones who are going to struggle is going to be the wide receiving core. And I think Pittman is one that's way overvalued at 43rd overall. And he's going to disappoint. He's going to disappoint this year, like at that spot. Like he's just going to have insane efficiency. And people think like, oh, Richardson's just the better passer than Minshew. And even if he is a better passer, their pass volume is going to go down to where he's going to have to be crazy efficient, something he's never done in his career. And it's just a spot where I think Pittman's just way too overvalued right now. And the fantasy production he did have with Anthony Richardson last year, in which people are using to justify it, is they were broken plays last year. Like there was one play where Anthony Richardson escaped the pocket, Michael Pittman Jr. was just wide open. And another was a screen pass that broke open. Like, he's way too overvalued. And we don't even know that Anthony Richardson's going to prefer throwing to Pittman. Like, I just think Pittman's tremendously overvalued right now. Yeah, he's my first guy that I think is going to go down.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like if you're lucky enough to draft Pittman, you got him. You have him on your team early on. But this is like the perfect sell window, in my opinion, right now. I sold him last season. Didn't get the best trade, but I got him off my team. That's all I wanted. So for my first two people I think that are going to drop in value, maybe a little bit of hate here, but I think Stephon Diggs going to the Houston Texans. He's just getting into a congested offense. Man showing his age. We saw it in the Bills. He missed that wide open throw downfield on the Bills. We all saw that throw. And he's hitting that age. And I just think that his route running ability, his ability to get like a ton of volume, is just not there. And I just think that Nico Collins, even Tank Dell, just overall better than him currently. And I think he might have kind of a worst case scenario where he just has to swallow the pill, take the wide receiver 2 or 3 position. And I think his ADP at 76.76 is just, it's just not realistic. My next pick is going to be Ricky Pearsall, ADP 105.5. I think that currently he has an insane catch radius. I just think that, speaking about Houston going into San Francisco, I think he fits into the system perfectly, but I just think with Ayuk not being traded or Debo not being traded, I think it's just a little bit congested. I think Kittle, Debo, and Ayuk just do the offense a lot better. They have more experience, and I just don't think he's going to fit into that system well. I think he's like what Jesse mentions in our later podcast, he's more of a year two buy, I think. I think that he got lucky to be in the first round, but I think if you get him in year two, he's going to be a lot better value because I think Ayuk or Debo will be out of there. So I'll be in a better scenario.
Yeah, definitely fair. I respect both of those. I like the Pearsall one especially. But my next one, I'm going to go Jaden Daniels, 28th overall currently. I think in general, the fantasy community and Dynasty in particular are overvaluing rushing quarterbacks and like just thinking, oh, they're gonna just retain value no matter what. And I'm just worried about Jaden Daniels passing translating. Like he wasn't a good passer for 4 out of his 5 seasons in college, and people just expect him to be just as efficient as he was last year, just throwing slot fades and just throwing it out in space to wide open Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. Like I just think he's overvalued right now, and if he struggles passing, like I don't think he's going to be able to rush as well as he does in the NFL. It's possible he could sustain his value with rushing, but I just think passing, he's going to struggle initially in the NFL.
Yeah, great, great pick there, Nick. That was absolutely 100% going to be my pick. I should agree with you. Yeah, he's going to struggle, and I think that, yeah, his value, he isn't in as good of a position as hardly any of the other quarterbacks, so. And then my pick is actually going to stem off of your first one with Pittman. Anthony Richardson, he's going at player 13 right now, so the first pick of the second round. And I just think there's a very high chance that he drops down at least a bit from there. And then going into my final pick of this draft here, Adunze, He's going at player 39. Kind of reminds me of the JSN situation last year. I think JSN was going at player 43, and now he's going around 70-ish. So yeah, with Odunze, I foresee him dropping quite a bit, just because of the competition that he's gonna have. It's gonna be tough to have a huge splash rookie season.
I like that one. In fact, I like both of them. I think those are solid picks. I think people are liking Odunze's talent maybe a little too much. My next one, I'm gonna kind of stem off Logan's second one, and I'm gonna go Tank Dell, 62nd overall currently, and I mean, kind of similar reason as Logan. I just think their offense, like, there's a lot of really good wide receivers, and I think Nico's the best one of them all, and I know Stroud loves Tank Dell, but I think Stephon Diggs is going to do well when he's not the number one option at his current age. And I just think someone's going to struggle. And I think coming off a broken leg, it's kind of being a little overlooked for Dell. And I think Dell's a guy that can drop in value this year. I mean, probably not a ton, but I think he can drop some.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I feel like the one thing that fucked me up with Tank Dell was when they had him just blocking inside when he got injured. And I thought that was just like the biggest miscommunication outlier towards their coaching staff. Like, why would you have him go inside at that size? But yep, like you said, super congested offense, but you know, I might go with a little bit of a hot take here. I think I'm going to go with Cooper Kupp is my biggest, not my biggest, but one of the people that I think is going to keep dropping down in value. And I just think that people are trying to get those receivers that last year over year, but he is just someone that, you know, peaked, and I think he's falling down right now. He's at ADP 87, and I like Stephon Diggs, I just think he can't stay healthy. Not like Stephon Diggs, but Cooper Kupp cannot stay healthy. He has Puka Nacua behind him now as well. So, like, he has the fire on his ass. And I just think that Aaron Donald retiring, the Rams are just going to be put in a spot where they're thinking, man, can we continue with this guy? He's going to be productive when he does play, but I just think that he's going to be on his way out and people are going to start viewing it ADP wise. So
No, I definitely can understand that. But guys, I think this is pretty successful getting the draft wrapped up here. I'm going to be excited next year to kind of be able to track these throughout the season. We're going to write them down a little better than we did last year. But yeah, I had a lot of fun. But you can follow on Twitter at ProTalkLogan. You can follow him at Jesse underscore Setzer. You can follow me at PTNick32. Until next time, Dino Talk.